We're in Masechet Shabbat of Kufnun Hay, and we start at the bottom of Kufnun Daramud Bet, the very last line. So just before we look at four lines up, we had a machloket here between Rabbi and Abaya. We said yesterday, we're trying to say whether the tree itself was, everybody agreed, was asur to use. The question is, what about like the derivative of the tree? We call it one generation, like studding. So for example, if you've got something stuck into the tree and then you're leaning on that, right? So Abaya, everybody agrees that studding is asur. And the machloket Tanai that we brought there, brighter, between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Meir, right, was where the argument about date studying, like a second derivative. So, for example, you've got the tree, would be asur. Something on the tree would be, according to him, would still be asur. And now, if you had something leaning on that something, which he called date studying, would that be asur? And that was the machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Abaya, that was Abaya. Rava said no. Rava said, man da asar bet studying. Asim bit started studying. Mind Asar, the Shari bit started studying, Shayinam bit studying. Rava said no. Rava said it's the same machloket. It's a machloket between studying and between studying. And whoever says studying is Asur says Tzidayt studying is Asur. Anybody says that Tzidayt studying is Mutar says studying is Mutar as well. So the Gemara brings a brighter via brighter to ask Akashia on Abaya. Because Abaya said everybody agrees that studying is Asur. And the machloket is on tzidayt studying, right? So the Gemara brings a bright over here. So, thank you very much, Ashir Rava. Natsya Ted Beilan. Sorry. The Gemara brings a kasha over here on Rava, because Rava said that whoever says studying is asur also says tzidayt studying is asur. Whoever says tzidayt studying is mutar will say studying is mutar. So Rav Mishashi asks a kasha to Rava. He brings a bright, it's like this. Na'atz yated. Person's like a peg in a tree, Be'ilan. V'talaba kalkla l'malem yasra tvachim. And now he hung a basket on this peg above 10 tvachim. Right? What's going on over here? Rashi says like this. He put a nagar, right? Some sort of like a peg into the tree. And he hung a basket on that tree. What was the idea of the basket? Rashi, look at Rashi. He was wanting to make an Eruv Tchumin for Shabbos. So what's an Eruv Tchumin? You take some food, you put the food in a place on the outside of the town. And because you've got food there, you make as if that's now your home on Shabbos. And when you get there, you can eat the food. And you've got another 2,000 Amas to walk from that Eruv. That's the idea of an Eruv Tchumin on Shabbos. But now, remember, we also learned on Shabbos, we learned before, that on Shabbos you've got Arba Rashiyotain. Obviously, there are four Rashiyot. There's Rashta Yachid, private domain, Shtarabim, public domain, Makom Petor and a Karmelit. Remember? A Karmelit, and those Makom Petor and a Karmelit. We said Shtarabim goes up to 10 Tvachim above the ground. And above 10 Tvachim is called the Makom Petor. It's not a Shtarabim anymore. Now, when you made your Eruv Tchumin, you want to be able to eat on Shabbos from your Eruv. So if you've got this basket hanging on the tree, and you come there on Shabbos, you want to be able to eat from the food that's in the basket. So what's going to be, huh? The writer says, he tied his basket full of fruit, full of food, above 10 tvachim. So there the Tanakhama says, the Eruv is not an Eruv. Why isn't it an Eruv? Right? Because he has not in the same reshut now as his Eruv, as his basket. If it's lamatem yasra tvachim, Eruvo, Eruv, it's beneath 10 tvachim, it's the perfectly good Eruv. Now Rashi explains it very nicely. Well, look at the Rashi quickly. Ima kapla batoch asara la'aretz, if it's within 10 tvachim of the ground, it's a good Eruv. The who the eruvo b'shtarabim, they're both in the same reshut. The eruv is in shtarabim, and who is in shtarabim? Aval lemala me'asher, if it's above 10, v'stam kalkala, says Rashi, as a rule, this average size basket we're speaking about, a kalkala, is at least 4 tvachim wide. So have you la kalkala reshta yachid? So now you've got your kalkala is 4 tvachim wide, it's 10 tvachim high, so reshta yachid already. So it's not shtarabim. So now you can't eat out of your basket because you're in shtarabim, the basket is reshta yachid. So you can't use the basket to eat on, therefore you can't have and got a good Eruv, right? Punit kaven yishbob shirabi wants to make sure a shvita deva enu yachol litlosham milo ochlo v'kaven de'enu se'udah haruya, since it hasn't got a meal there which he can eat from, eno kone shvita, he can't make an Eruv. Now this brighter is totally extraneous to our purpose. But we're going to see now how the concept, you remember there was a peg in the tree and he hung his basket on the tree. Just stop for a second in our language. The tree is asur. the yeted, the peg on the tree, would be tzadin, and the basket that's now hanging on the tree would be tzidei tzadin, a third generation, correct? Like twice removed the tree, once removed is the peg, twice removed is the basket. So we've got no problem using the basket, because the basket, if it's in the tent, it would beneath ten tvachin, because between, because in same shoot. So the Gemara now makes a deal. It's like this, taima, how come the na'atz it had be'ilan? Ha lo na'atz, afilu lamata me'ashar tvachim, ein eruvo, eruvo. Right, the bright, the deal cover that Masharshia, right, is making over here. He says, how come this eruv is a good eruv? Because you've got the peg in the tree. Right, in other words, we are using tzadin. Right, and atzeh tebilan, ha'lonat, if he never had a peg in the tree, and and the basket was hanging directly from the tree itself, afilu lamata me'ashar tvachim, even if it was 10 tvachim beneath the ground, it was in a good position from a rabbin point of view, still wouldn't be a good eruv. V'ahai tane asar betzadin, now we see here that the tane was asur betzadin. However, ukeshare betzadin, but he said, no problem, the basket you can use. The peg, right? The tree, the side of the tree. Why could you do this? Because we were eating out of the basket. So we're using tzidei tzadin. So we see that our buyer wanted to say, everybody agrees that tzadin is asur. There's a machloket on tzidei tzadin. Rava said that whoever agrees with tzidei tzadin agrees with tzadin. Rav Mishashi is saying to Rava, you're wrong, Rava. He has a Tana who doesn't agree with tzadin, but he does agree with tzidei tzadin. The basket's okay. So you're wrong, Rava. And whoever says tzadin is mutar says tzidei tzadin is mutar. Whoever says tzidei tzadin is asur says tzadin asur. Not true. We see a difference over here between the basket. We see tzidei tzadin. And if the basket was hanging on the tree, why is the basket okay? Because it was hanging on a peg. If the basket was hanging on the tree, then the basket would be tzadin. Because it's hanging on the peg, it's already one relationship removed from the tree. So it's tzidei tzadin, you can use it. There wasn't the peg there, it wouldn't be good. That's what the brighter was, Medayek, said, when can the basket be a good Eruv? If there's a peg in the tree and the basket hanging on the peg, now you two generations from the tree away, you can use it. Oh, without the peg, you wouldn't be able to use the basket. The basket hanging directly from the tree. It's a Kashya on Rava. Clear? Right? So now, Amara Papa said, no. Not such a partial story. Why? What's this brighter speaking of? Why does this particular brighter say only if there was the peg you can use it? Not because of the tzadin or tzidei tzadin, but because Rav Papa hacha bekalkulat dechukah askinah. Rashi says, what's the chukah? It's got a very narrow face, mouth. Debahadeh deshakedeh le'eruv kaminayed le'ilan. If it, because it's very narrow, this basket, so you're like battle to get your hand in and get the food out. So because you're in a battle, you're going to end up shaking the tree. We don't want you shaking the tree on Shabbos. If it was a big, wide basket, and to shake, even that would be okay. So here, because it's a narrow basket, you're going to say, we want you to be more removed. So not really a good kashya here on Rav at all. Right? And the Gemara nonetheless paskens like this. The hilchot tzadin asurin, tzidei tzadin mutarin, laka baya. Right? Which is quite amazing because we know that the halacha, as we discussed it not so long ago, there was a machloket Rav and Abaya in all examples in Shas, other than six primary cases, which said Yael Kagan, the halacha is like Rava. So look at this. Tosfot asked the question over here. Look at Tosfot. You have to study Nasurin. V'taymer the Rebbe, amai lo chashiv hani b'hadei Yael Kagam de halacha k'abaya. Why don't we say that only these six cases Yael Kagam are abaya, right? This is not one of those cases. How come the halacha here seems to be like abaya? Now Yael Kagam, this afternoon I gathered, I couldn't remember all of them. Yael Kagam is Yud is for Yeush, Ayin is for Eid Zomem, Lamed is to do with Lechi, Kuf is Kiddushin Shlonitan Nebia, Gimel is a Get. I'm not sure what the Mem is, but I think I've actually got it written down here. Rava and Abaya, Alochet Rava and Abaya. And I've just written Yael Kagam. I don't know what the Yael Kagam is. Anybody remember? Anybody got a Gemara there which says what Yael Kagam is? That's not very good of me. Okay. It's in Biyah, but I'm still wondering, what is it though? Anybody remember what it is? I've just got written over here. Sheel Kagam. I can't remember what it is. But no, it's definitely Yayush. It's Eidud Eid Zomem Lechi on Shabbos Kiddushin to the Nebiya Gitin, and then I'm not sure what the Mem is. And yeah, doesn't matter. So that's a kasha there that Tosfot asks. So up and on this Gemara passes the Lochot Akabai. Amar Rav Ashi Hashda Damar Tzayin Asurin. So Rav Ashi says as follows: since we said over here that that studying on the Asur, high dog in the middle, you got this ladder, right? Lo Lincha Inish Adikla, don't eat it on the tree. The Habul Ad Study could study and the Lincha Agvaze Lebar Midikla. What's going to be? Rashi says like this. Look at the Rashi. The Rashi says, yeah, you got these tree, you got these ladders. The darg is a sulam. Rashi says, yeah, sulam sheolin bo lisukat notrim. Rabbi talking over here is like a guardhouse. Okay, so you'll see like a kundasin going like on hostels. But he's near a tree. He says, now if you got your ladder, the normal thing to do would be to leave the ladder on the tree, climb up the tree, and then from the ladder walk into your guardhouse. He said, he's got a problem now because you aren't allowed studying. Now, if the ladder is leaning on a tree and you climbing on the ladder, so that is studying. So what did he say? He says, put a peg into the wall, into the tree, and lean the ladder on a peg, and then you're okay. Exactly like our brighter, which said the kalkala was on a peg on the tree. Okay? So basically, we come around full circle. New Mishnah. Matir, now a little bit more complicated, this Mishnah. Mishnah says, Matirin pikei amir lifnei behema. You can undo. Right, Rashi says, yeah, kashin shel chibolim, so like sheaves of like wheat, straw, right? Sheaves of straw that are bundled up. Matirinotam shiunuchin be'amet, unbundled so the animals can eat them. Umefasfasin da kippin, so we got pekin and we got kippin, right? And the kippin you can spread out. Rashi says, yeah, mefazer, right? Chechein derech shemefazrim lebehema ha'asavim, the grass. You can eat it nicely. Why? Because when they stuff together, says Rashi, mitchan, they get hot. And they don't really get the scent doesn't appeal to them. Avalo et azirin, but not the zirin. Right? The zirin ain't meraskin. So not azirin. You can't do this. You can untie the pekin. You can spread out the kippin, but you can't do anything with the zirin. We'll see all of these things in the Gemara. Then ain't meraskin. Don't chop up. Rashi says meraskin mechatech. Right? Don't chop up. I'm asking, ain't mechatchin done cut up? Lord Ashachat, we saw Shachat. Rav Ashi says, yeah, Shachat is this Esev Shel Tvua, who asafsata. We see this before, it's like a very cheap green stuff that grows very quickly and we feed the animals with. Can't chop that up. Vloita Charuvin, and neither the caribs in front of animals. Bain Daka, Bain Gasa, whether it's a small animal or a big animal. Rabbi Yehuda Matir b'charuvin l'charuvin. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can chop up a kruv in front of a small animal. Look at Rashi there, but daka. Sheshinea dakot, because it's hard for the animal to feed. Remember, you got to be responsible to feed your animals on Shabbos, right? If they're your animals. So Gemara says, Amar Avuna, hein, hein, pekin, hein, and kif. Rabbi Yehuda says, now, when the Mishnah said that you can undo this bundles of pekin, and you can spread out the bundles of kippin, pekin and kippin are the same thing. Just, he says, yeah, pekin, try keeping clutter. Just the pekin are tied up in bundles of two and the kippin are bundles of three. And zirin, where we said you can't do anything with zirin. What is zirin? It says zirin da arze. Those are of cedar trees. Look at Rashi. What does it mean, zirin da arze? He says, over here, anafim lachin shel eres. These are wet branches of the trees, of the cedar trees. Shemezar dinotam ubeodam lachin ruyim de behem beverob bene adam in echilton. So you can do some process to them. And then when they're moist, the animals can eat them. Right, but he says, however, most people still use these things for firewood. Okay, so that's basically, most people use them to dry out, says Rashi, and they use them for firewood, but you can feed them to animals when they're very moist, when they're very wet. So that is what Rav Huna says. Right, Pekin Trey and the three, right, and the Gemara says, and Hakach, and let's say you read the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Rav Huna, who says that the pekiin and the kippin are the same? This is how you're going to read the Mishnah. Matirin pekiay amir livnei behema umefasfasin. You can undo the bundles of pekiin for them, and you can spread them out as well. Vuadin the kippin, and so too kippin, because they're the same thing according to Rav Huna. However, lo etazirin, not the zirin, right? Lo lefasfasam, but all hati. You can't either spread them out or undo them. So according to Rav Huna, kippin and pekiin are the same. Zero not a problem, no problem. Amar Rav Chizah says, my time, whatever. Now, watch Rav Huna's reason. Why does he say the kippin and the pekin you can undo and spread out, but you can't do it for the zirzin? says kasavar lemitrach beuchle tarchinan. So he says, because he's of the opinion, look at Rashi, mitrach, the very first wide lines of Rashi, there in the middle, mitrach beuchle. Before you did anything to the process, it was already food. Tarchinan umachshirinan leyafatan. Now you can do work on it to make it nicer. If it was food, go ahead, go to town. So there's no problem with tircha. The problem is, was it food or wasn't it food beforehand? It says lemitrach pauchle tarchinan leshavuye uchle lo mashvinan. Right, but to actually make it into food, you can't make it into food. If it was already, if it was already edible, then you can prepare it even further. That's Rav Huna. Now there's a machloket ma'amar amaviyah. Rav Huda says no. Rav Huda says amar heinein pekin heinein zirin. Rav Huda says no, you got it wrong. The pekin and the zirin, those are the same things. The pekin tray and the zirin klata. So 2 and 3. The kippin, that's the arzay. That's the seeded branches. Now, he got a problem because our Mishnah said, matir the pekin and mefasfes the kippin, and you can't do anything to the zirin. So if he's saying that the zirin and the pekin, right, the pekin and the zirin are the same thing, so how does he get around with the Mishnah telling us that with the zirin you can't do anything? So he says, like this, this is how you got to read the Mishnah. Matirin pekiyei amirifnei behema. You can unbundle pekin, but you can't spread it out. Right? The kippin, right? Pisfusei nami mefasfinan, avaloe tazirin lefasfeis, elatir. So basically what he says here is, he reads the Mishnah by saying that the pekin and the zirin you can only undo. The zirin you can spread out. Sorry. The kippin, which is the zirin, he says over here, hold on, I'm a little bit confused now myself. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, heinein pekin, heinein zirin. So he says zirin and pekin are the same thing. Pekin 2, zirin 3. And kippin is the arzay. Now, the arzay, matirin pekiyei, divay behema, but you can't do fisfus, you can't spread out. The kippin, pisfusa, you can even spread out. Right? Remember, he says that the kippin is the arzay, right? Aval lo hazirin, but the zirin, which is the bundles of three, you can't spread out, but you can undo. So now I'm going to have my time with Rav Huda. Watch Rav Huda's reason. He holds the other way around. He says, "Kasavar shavuye uchle mashvinan, mitrach buchle matrinan." He says, you can take food, which isn't already food, and make it into food, because you've got to feed the animals. But existing food, you can't do, you can't make it nicer for them. Right? Look at Rashi there. Matirin pekiya amir. The cause manchu kashul abuchlu. While it's not tied up, while it's tied up, not untied, it's not food. Umatirol ishviyoch. And why are you untying it? You're untying it because you can convert it into food. Umishum tsar behaim eshari. Because it's tsar balechaim. That's what we saw the other day from the Gamliya, right? We paskins, it's a deraita. Aval fisfus lo, but to spread out, no. De sagile bahatra. Bahatra vit avid uchlo fisfus eli ta'anug ba'almuhu. Spreading out and everything, it's really ta'anug. ומיתרח בוח בדבר שהוא קвар אוכל בלא תיקון זה לא תרחינן ומפספסינן את הקיפין דארז דבלא פיספוס לא אבוקל. And that comes with the fispus, with the certain types of foods. So there's certain foods that if you don't spread them out, they aren't food. And if you don't untie them, they aren't food. But what is food, you can't right. So therefore, you can convert them into food. But once they're already food, you can't do tircha. Where Rav Huna is the other way around. Rav Huna says, what is food already, you can do tircha, and you can't untie stuff to make it into food. So he would say that undoing the pekiin, Rav Huna would say, that's not making it into food, because even food while it's tied up, therefore you can untie it. Rav Huna says, no, if it's tied up, it's not food, therefore you can untie it. You got it? That's basically the difference. Okay. So now, Elul Hatir, Amarav, my time with Rav Huna, so what's Rav Huna's reason? Ksava shavu yuchlu mushvinan, mitrach b'uchle lomet, you can't do tircha. So now the Gemara brings our Mishnah, and says, wait a second, from our Mishnah, Tanan. Our Mishnah could remember one time Amora says now you can do tircha on existing food, but you can't make things which weren't food into food. And the one Amora says, no, you can make things into food, but you can't do tircha of Israeli food. Okay, so now let's see how our Mishnah goes. What does our Mishnah do? So Gemara is at nine in our Mishnah. Ein meraskin et ha-shachat, betach charuvin, ifnei behem bebein daka ben gasa. So what does it say over here? You can't chop up, like Rashi Marasek, right? You can't chop up right? The shachat, this vegetation, or the charuvin, in front of any animal, das, gasa or daka. So the Gemara says, my love, charuvin, do me the shachat. And the order went shachat, charuvin, right? So the Gemara is saying like this, why can't you? Because a charuvin is like shachat. Because right, shachat came first. So shachat is the important one. What shachat? Shachat derechicha is soft. Av charuvin derechicha is also soft. Therefore, what does that mean that you can't chop up shachat and charuvin? It's already food. And therefore, and it's soft food. So there's no purpose to chop it up. Animals can eat it. Right? So, ain't we asking? Therefore, you don't chop it up. Therefore, we see over here that because it's already existing food, we don't allow you to do tircha. It's soft, it's edible, animals can eat it, don't chop it up. And that is the tiyufta of Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna said on the contrary, says, where things are food, you can chop them up, you can deal with them. When they aren't food, you can't do anything with them. And our Mishnah is saying, why can't you chop up this charuvim and this shachat? Because they're soft, they're edible, they're good food, therefore we're not allowed to do any more tircha. So it seems like our Mishnah is a kashya on Rav Huna. Clear? Right? So Amal Charavuna, Ravuna says to you, no, don't get carried away. No. You go the other way around. You want to tell me that Charuvin is similar to Shachat. I'm saying to you the other way around. Shachat, do me the Charuvin. What is Charuvin? Is Akushi. Rashi says, what's Rashi say? Akushi is hard, right? So therefore it's inedible. Av shachat da akushi. So too, the shachat is akushi. Shavuna says, why can't you cut up the shachat or the charuvin? Because they're hard. What does it mean they're hard? They aren't edible. It's not food. And therefore, stay away, says our Mishnah. You can't chop it up because it's inedible. So it works with Ravuna. Ravuna said, you can only chop up food which is good food. What's inedible, you can't do anything with. You can't make it into food. And charuvin and the shachat, because it's hard, how do you make it edible? By chopping it up. And that you can't do on Shabbos. So according to Ravuna, he says, no, our Mishnah supports me. It doesn't support you. It's a good kasha. It's not a kasha. You got it? Clear? Right? Okay. So he wants to say, where do we find this situation over here where we'd have to chop up this thing says, ba'ailei zutri. Right, Ailei Zutri, look at Rashi over here. Ayarim, Ayar is a small chamor, like a little donkey. Sha'af ha-shachat kashalem, where even for them, the eating this like weeds is hard for them. V'tzricha risuk lishvuya uchlin, you have to chop it up and grind it up to make it edible. So in a scenario like that, for a little donkey to be hard to eat, even then it would be so. Basically, Rav Huna survived that attack. The one says, Toshma. Now another kashya over here. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'charuvin ledaka. Our Mishnah says what? Our Mishnah says Rabbi, remember, we had Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna. Now we've got a kashya from Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana in our Mishnah. All right? So what's the kashya? Our Mishnah said that Ein Meraskin, Lord HaShachar, Lord HaCharuvim, Bnei Behema, Bein Daka, Bein Gasa, big or small. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you can in front of a small animal. So what's he allowing over here? Rabbi Yehuda is allowing preparation of food in front of a small animal, right? This is a kashya on who? This is a kashya on Rav Huna again. So the one says, ledaka, ledaka in, legasa lo. Right? That's a kashya, right? Legasa in, ledaka in, legasa lo. Only in a daka, not in a gasa. I think Rashi says they beat me out, right? Ledaka in. No, I got it wrong there. Yes. Rav Yehuda matir b'charuvin ledaka. Right, sorry. Ledaka bit mia. Right? Or have I got the wrong Rashi? Ah, the wrong Rashi. Ledaka in, right? Havalei shavi uchla. Right? So Rav Yehuda allows you to chop up the stuff. Why? Because you're making food for him. So now, if you hold like Rav Yehuda explained it, Tanakama says that you can't make food into food, right? But only, you can't do tircha, sorry, but you can convert to make it edible, like Rav Yehuda explained. Then we understand why Rabbi Yehuda said you can chop up for the behemoth daka, because it's a small animal and therefore it can't chew it up. It's inedible unless it's chopped up. And yeah, if you say like Rabbi Huna wanted to say, Tanakama Sabra, Shavya Uchlalo Mashvet, you can't make food edible. However, you can mitrach buchle mitrachina, but what's already edible, you can prepare nicely, you can do tircha for. So then my daka, right? My daka. So then what does it mean only for a daka? Right? Then I understand. Yeah, my Bishlom Grashi, Shemar Rabbi Yehuda. So basically, why only daka? So the Gemara says, why? What do you mean? Now, what do you mean? My daka. Sorry, I lost my place over here. Mitrach Rabbi Huda, the matir becharuvin the daka. Kol shekain gasa. I skipped the line. Sorry. Kol shekain gasa. If he's allowing you to prepare, so then what do you mean matir charuvin? Right, if it's like Rav Huna, who says that a kama shavu uchlelo mashvinan, but for tircha you can allow to do like Rav Huna wanted to say, then what do we care if it's small or big? On the contrary, for small animals, chopping it up is more like making it edible. That's what a kama said you aren't allowed to do. So you actually be for big animals, you should be able to chop it up. Why? Because for big animals, it's already edible because they've got a stronger jaw. So now go ahead and chop it up. Because we said shivu you can't do, but tircha you can do, right? So this is a kashi on Rav Huna. That doesn't make sense according to Rav Huna then. Why he says only daka and not gasa as well. Question clear? Klar. We have it again, one more time. We have asked a kashi. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda have bachut in the Mishnah. How to understand the Mishnah. Rav Huna says that the Tanakhama said you can matir, you can unbundle these things and do whatever you can. Why? Things are already food. And go ahead and do tircha. That's what Rav Huna says. But you can't make things edible on Shabbos. If they aren't edible, they're mukta. Where Rav Yehuda says, on the contrary, if they're already edible, you can't make further tircha on Shabbos. It's asur. But if they aren't edible, then you can chop up to make it edible for them, untie it, or unbundle whatever, spread it out, make it edible for them. So like, what I'm saying, like, wait a second. According to our Mishnah, as Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, that you can chop up the charuvin only in front of small animals. Now, understanding now is, like we had an example earlier on, like the ayil, the small donkey. Why does he allow you small animals? Because small animals can't chew the charuvin. So what is chopping up equal to? It's tantamount to preparing them their food. And that sounds more like Rav Yehuda, not like Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna says, you can't prepare food. You can only do tircha on existing food. You can't make food, create it edible. If it wasn't edible, you can't use it. And if the fact that Rabbi Yehuda the Mishnah says that you can chop up for little animals seems to imply that you can prepare food. So if the Mishnah is like Rav Yehuda, we understand. If the Mishnah is like Rav Huna, who says you can't prepare food, then why did Rabbi Yehuda the Mishnah say that you can chop up for small animals? On the contrary, he should have said you can chop up for the big animals. Why? Because for the big animals, it's already edible because they're able to chew the food. So it was edible. Ah, now you can do tircha. Okay? That's the question. So now Rav Huna has to defend himself. So now Rav Huna says like this, Mi sabar daka daka mamash? Did you think that when Rav Huna said in the Mishnah, Rav Huna said daka, he meant little animals? No. He was just referring to little animals, my daka, not daka as in little. They actually gusa, they're big animals. However, v'amai, the Bach changes that to v'amai, not v'mai, amai. Not what, but why? Karilei daka. Why they call daka? The daika beuchla, because they're very particular about what they eat. So if you've got an animal that's your responsibility now, and if you're very particular in what he eats, then you've got a problem because it's tzar balei chayim unless you bring him exactly the way that he wants it. So it was edible food. Just you chopped it up for him because it was a gasa, so it was edible. Just you prepared it for him nicely, so he would be happy with it. So therefore, we involved that as well. So the Gemara says, okay, wait a second. Daka beuchla. How many tani reisha bein daka uvein gasa? Doesn't make any sense because the fact that the Mishnah spoke in the beginning when the Tanakama spoke, he said that you can't merasek rashachat let the churin either daka or gasa. And Rabbi Yehuda said only bedaka you can. The fact that he said gasa and daka michlau Rabbi Yehuda daka daka mamash kamar, and he means that Rabbi Yehuda's been at a proper daka, not an animal who's particular. Because Tanakama said, bain gasa, bain daka. So the fact that they're comparing gasa to daka, you can't tell me another word daka means diuk, that's particular. Because in the context different, the Gemara says, ends it with Kashya. So you know what? It's a good question. We've got a problem over here. Now, remember what I told you. We learned a couple of daf ago. There was a Kuf. I'm not so clear, but I found it early on today. But I think it was Kuf Lamed Aleph. No, sorry, Kuf Lamed Zayin. Yeah, I found it again. Remember, I read to you the Shabbat Chananiel who says, V'chein Rav Huna hilchete kevatei deshachiach gabereish galuta. That Rav Huna, as a rule, halocha is usually like Rav Huna, because Rav Huna was around Reish Galuta a lot, and therefore knew halocha. So you can see how the Gemara is battling over here. How come the halocha is not like Rav Huna? It appears we've got a real kashya over here to explain this Mishnah like Rav Huna. We want to explain like Rav Huna, but we can't. And we'll see just now that Rabbeinu Chananiel will explain that actually halocha is not like Rabbeinu Chananiel, not Rav Huna, halocha is like Abaya and Rabba. So now let's carry on. So what's that? Toshma. Now we're going to ask a kashya on Rav Yehuda. Mechatchin, from our Mishnah again, and another Mishnah. Mechatchin et adluin, you can cut up pumpkins, lifnei behema, in front of an animal. Vetan aveila, and the dead carcass, lifnei klal, in front of dogs. So now again, the Gemara wants to say, what is the basis for this? Right? Rashi says particularly that their pumpkins were already picked and they were edible for human beings, therefore they're not mukta. Right, so my love, Dluin, Dumia, the Nevela, aren't we going to say over here that the Dluin and the Nevela are similar to each other in what sense? My Nevela, they're both very soft. Therefore, they're edible already. So how come we're allowing you to chop them up? They were edible because we're allowing you to do it because of Tircha. We're only allowing you to chop it up because they were both soft, these gods, whatever you call them, pumpkins, and the carcass were soft. Therefore, the animals could eat them, no problem. But you, and therefore they were edible. So we allow you to cut them up because of Tircha, and that supports Rav Huna against Rav Yehuda. So the Guru says, no, Amalek Rav Yehuda, you got it wrong. He says, Lord, not that the gluin are dumia to nevela, but the nevela dumia to gluin. The nevela, the carcass, is like the pumpkins. Ma gluin, the ashuni, look at Rashi on the top line there, kashin, gluin, pumpkins are hard. Af nevela, the ashune. Right, and therefore, why are we allowing you to cut them up? Because of like Rav Yehuda, they aren't edible. We're allowing you to chop them up to make them edible. So to prepare food, you have to prepare food, not to make food already more enticing. So the word says again, where do we find a situation like this where you have to chop up gouds or nevelas? Basar pili. If you're using animal meat, elephant meat, which is very hard. So therefore, a dead elephant, you've got to feed it to the dogs, very hard to chop it up. Right, very hard to eat, you have to chop it up. Inami or beguriata zutri. Right, in little guriata. Look at Rashi says like puppies. Right, so they battle to eat. So therefore you'd have to chop them up for the puppies as well. Okay. Toshma. What means the kashya? The Tani Rav Chanan min Harda, mefarchinan teben v'asfasfa umarvinan. And he says that you can chop up teben, the straw, and the shakha, this afasfasta, we said it's like green stuff, and mix it all together. So what does it mean, mix it all together? Each one on their own are edible. So therefore, you can, Alma Tarchin and Buchlas, it seems like we support Rav Huna there. Therefore, it seems like you can mix them up, right? And it's Tircha. Right? So we say, no, you got it all wrong. It's Teven Betivna Saria. It's actually a bit of a rotten, look at Rashi, Delo Chazia. Bashta Mashluch, it's a bit rotten. So on their own, it wasn't edible. But by mixing it up into this story, right? So then you make it edible again. So we seem to be supporting Rav Yehuda again. The Gemara says again, where would this case be? Betiv Nasaria, Asaf Safta, where would it be? With Be'ilei Zutre, with these small ayalim, with these little donkeys, where we'd have to chop up the food and make it all mix and nasty, attend for them. Okay, new Mishnah, Matitin. Ein of Sin et Agamal. We'll see in a second. Rashi says, in all these words, I'm not going to read the Rashi. Rashi just says the Gemara will explain, the Gemara will explain, the Gemara will explain. So I'm just going to leave out the Rashi for the meantime for the Mishnah. So ain ovasin gamal, you can't oves the gamal. See what Rashi says, what oves means in a second. The Lord Dorsin, you can't stuff either. Aval mal itin, but you can do halata. Rashi on all these three things on mal itin, Dorsin, ofsin. Oh no, sorry. Rashi on ofsin says, machinoto harbay, feed him a lot. Al korchob, by forcing him with a lot of food, but tochavin lobegrof, stuffing down his throat. And the Gemara explain what the difference between ofsin is. The Lord Dorsin says shedore, stuff it down his throat again. So ofsin is a lot of food. You force feed him a ton of food, and Dorsin is just you force him a bit of food, not a lot, right? So those things you can't do. Aval maliti, that's the word I'm talking about. It means v'ein mamirin et ha'aglim. You can't do amara, whatever that is, to little animals. Aval maliti, but you can do halata. Umahalakiti, and you can do halkata to chickens. And notdin ma'im lemursan, you can put water into bran. That's basically like a avalo goblin. You can't knead it. You can't like mix it up. V'ein notdin ma'im lemursan, you can't put water either in front of bees. Or if now your nimbus or birds that live in the nests, the Gemara explained that. Almost go on about not any of that. Abazim, you come in full of ducks, geese, and tarragorin, chickens. Why? Because they obviously domesticated, they're yours. But if now your nay haradisiot, Rashi says over here, but if nay haradisiot, al shei mekoman, it's a place called like I don't know, Radisson, whatever. But nizonin me talk about they domesticated types of birds. So you've got this type of a species of birds that are very domesticated, eat by you. Those you can feed them, those you can't. Okay. A little bit of a tricky Mishnah over here. I actually made myself to try and understand like a little bit of a chart. Right? You will see the machloket here. It'll be easy for me to read it off the chart now. So we got like this. One says, my ain ovasin. What do we mean by ain ovasin? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, ain osin la avus b'toch ma'ea. You can't make a feeding trough inside its intestines. In other words, you want to put so much food inside of it that you're basically storing all the food inside its intestines for it to eat from for the next few weeks. The one says, mi'iki ka'agav, is such a thing? The one says, yes, in. He says, the Didi Chazdiahu to Asolus Arab bird trader, the Achle Kura, right? That he fed his animal over here, that he fed the animal a kur, like a massive amount, Va'atina Kura, look at Rashi, and also put an Atina Al Gabai, stored in his animal again, the Mazrot Derech, Levad Shar Masol, besides the rest of his load, he also had on it a whole bunch of food. So we said it's common to do such a thing. And the Gemara carries on, Ein ma'amirin. So the Gemara says, what ezuhu amra? What does it mean amara? V'ezuhu halata. I mean, we said in the Mishnah, Ein ma'amirin. I mean, you can't do this amara, whatever it is, to the little animals, but you can do le'ita, and you can do halkata to the chickens. So the Gemara says, now, what is this hamra'a, and what is halata? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda says as follows: Hamra'ah is lemakom shneichol lachzir. Hamra'ah is where you put it into the back of his throat as well that he can't vomit it up again. Look at Rashi there. Makom shneichol lachzir shetochavol la lifnim ibeit abliyah, back behind the throat, so it's gone. He can't spit it out. And halata is lemakom shneichol. You put the food in, but into his mouth he can spit it out if he wants. Rav Chisda says no. Rav Chisda says idi veidi lemakom shneichol lachzir. Both Hamara and halata or way back behind the throat, into his stomach, into his like esophagus, really, so he can't bring it back. However, hamra is with a kli, use your hand, use a tool, and Rashi says, yeah, tarvat, like a big spoon, and halata is by yad. So we're going to look at now between Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the hamra is eno yachol achzir, and halata is yachol achzir, and Rabbi Yosef, who says, no, they both are yachol achzir, one is with a spoon, and one's with your hand. Okay. So the Gemara Mati, Rav Yosef quotes from our Mishnah over here, right? He says, "How can it be?" The Mishnah says, "Melakatin the tarnagolin, ve'ein tzrich lomar shemelakitin." You can do halkata for a chicken, right? But and it's pashut then that you can do lekita. Ve'ein melakitin leyone shemach, but you can't do lekita to a shemach or to aliyah. Ve'ein tzrich lomar she'ein mahalkin. So it seems like when you can do halkata, you can do lekita. If you can't do lekita, then you can't do halkata. So lekita seems to be, right, that halkata seems to be the more chamur one. So the Gemara says, my mahalkin or my malakitin, what are the two? Ilema mahalkatin. If you understand that mahalkatin is the safaleh b'yadayim, that mahalkatin, which is the difficult one, is what Rav Yosef said. Remember, Rav Yosef said, what is hamra'ah and hala'ah? Yosef said that hamra'ah is with a spoon and hala'ah is with your hand. So you say, if you want to say that halkata is basically like putting your hand, so that would be like halata. Then the shari le kamayu, if you want to say, idem halkatin is safar abiyadayim, with your hand, and that's the more chamur one, so then the chamur was your hand, not a spoon. Then melakatin was lakitin, which was mutar, means the shari le kamayu, just throw the food in front of him. And that's mutar. And then he says, however, if you say that, right, Michlal, the Yonah Shabbach, Yonah Aliyah, Mishnah Kamayat Lemit, you can't even, because the Mishnah said that you can't even do this Lekita for the Yonah Shabbach. What, you can't even throw food in front of them on the floor? So it says it can't be that. So we can't say that Halkata is your hand and Lekita means just throwing on the floor, because you know it's partial that you can throw the food on the floor in front of the birds. In a land, if we've got to say what? Mahalkatin the Makom Shinechol Hachzir and Malikatin the Makom Shinechol Hachzir. Right? So then the Gemara says, that's the case. What are we saying? We're saying that Halkata now means the back of your throat, which is what Rabbi Yehuda called Hamra'a. And Likita is the front of the throat, which was Rabbi Yehuda called Halata. But then we've got a problem. Why? Because it means that Mahamra'a, well, the Hamra'a over here, which is the one which is to the back of your throat, is a higher level of them all, and that must be the Kli. Because we had Hamra'a, Halata, right, and Likita, and Halkata. And we had like a higher arc. This is like Hamra'a now is at the top. So if one is if it's pushing to your throat where it can get it back, and putting to your throat where it can't get back, then Hamra'a must be a bigger problem than that, and that must be the Kli. And Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said, Rabbi Yehuda said, no Kalim. It was Rabbi Yosef who said Kalim. So the Gemara says, to Rabbi Yehuda, because it seems like he's a Kli over here. That Hamra'a now seems with a Kli. So Malach Rabbi Yehuda, no. Lo'olam melahaketin desafale biyadam. He says, melahaket is with your hands. And melakatin is the lekita that come out throwing in front of you. Ah, so how do we get around this idea that we said it turns out that you aren't allowed to throw food in front of birds? Namilo, so that's not a problem. Why? He says, "Hani mezonotecha alecha, v'hane ein mezonotecha alecha." It would depend. If the birds you're responsible to feed them, then go ahead, throw the food in front of them. If you're not responsible to feed them, and you can't throw the bird the food in front of them, it doesn't affect me on our hamra eyes with your kli or not a kli. The one mishnah that says that you can't feed the birds because they aren't your birds. And birds that are your birds, you can feed your birds. You don't have to go in 2-3 generations up, layers up, to try and prove that Hamra'a must be with a Kli in order to get around to the fact that you're allowed to feed the birds. You're allowed to feed the birds if they're your birds. You're allowed to feed the birds if they aren't your birds. Okay? More or less clear. Right? Let's go. He said like this, Kedetanya, like a brighter. Notnim is not if they're Kelev, and Notnim is not if they're Chazir. You can feed a dog and you can't feed a pig. My fresh bay is there. One, what's the difference between the two of them? Zem is not tabalecha. Because the one, the dog, is your food, your responsibility. But Zem is not, and the pig's not yours. Pig, I suppose, you've got a wild pig. Look at Rashi. Chazrim is not dechalecha. Rashi's even a better reason of the why. The arul yodi shegadel chazrim. Cursed be the Jew who farms pigs. So not only isn't it your responsibility to feed pigs, you aren't allowed to feed pigs. You know, in Israel, there's a law in Israel. I don't know if it's still a law, but I know that once it was a law in Israel. Well, you can't feed pigs. And the way the law is worded, it says you can't feed pigs on the land of Israel. So the way that these pig farmers in Israel get away from this law is they feed them on a raised surface, not on the ground. Lift them off the ground, and it's like a loophole in the law. So you don't feed them on the ground. But it's asur to feed pigs. You aren't allowed to be a pig farmer. Right, so Amar Rav Ashi says, but Nitin Abi Dekha, we can see in our Mishnah as well. There's certain birds you can't feed, and bees, and certain birds you can feed. Why? My timer. Because some are yours, responsible, like chickens are domesticated in your backyard, you're going to feed them. Wild birds or birds living in nests or bees around are not your problem. So the Gemara says now, right, that was Rav Ashi. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi, according to you, that's the case. So my area, Maya, why did the Mishnah then specifically say you can't put water down for the birds and the bees? According to you then, if it's not mezonotecha alecha, the Mishnah should say you can't even put down wheat or grains. And the Mishnah doesn't say you can't feed them, it says you can't give them water. Why can't you give them water? Not because of your reason. You can't do a diuk from this Mishnah. The reason why you can't feed them water is because water is in abundance. There's rivers and lakes around. And go drink water. You have to do tirach on Shabbos for water. But food, you can give them food. Darish Rabbi Yonah, apitcha de Beit Nesia. Rabbi Yonah taught at the entrance of the Beit Nesia like this. My dichtiv yodea tzadik din dalim, that the tzadik knows din dalim. End of the pasuk here says, by the way, Rasha lo yavin daft, and the Rasha doesn't understand anything. יודע הקדוש ברוך הוא בכלב שמזונותיו מועטים. God understood that dogs are food scarce. לפיכך שוהה אכילתו במאב ג' ימים. Therefore he makes the food stand out of life. She said, so I'm not sure if this is biologically correct. I don't know. Therefore he says there that dogs, the food lasts in their stomach for 3 days. And how do we know that from Mishnah in Masechet Ohalot? With regards to mentares, like it's kamati she'achilato b'ma'av yetame. If a dog, he actually says, if a dog eats meat of a dead animal, of a dead person, and now the dog dies, so that, straight away, that dead meat in the body would be matame. Not the dog, the dead meat of the human. On the other hand, if the dog's alive, isn't it? Because beluin, when there's tumor is absorbed inside a body, swallowed in a body, that doesn't work, doesn't matame. Once it's dead, it would matame. Right? So it's a bekele of gimel yamim eklat. For 24 hours, in three lots of 24 hours of time, the dog ate the meat. If he died after 3 days, it wouldn't matame anymore. If he died before the 3 days, it wouldn't matame. For a fort for dagim, could actually pull or stuff. If and birds and fish, yeah, I don't think they're going to burn them. I'm not going to. What do we learn from this? That Hashem looked after dogs. Grashi mida kamashi hit pirakosh baruchu. It says dog, Hashem was particular about dog's food. Orech are le mishta. It makes sense over here now. It is derech eret to throw a bone for it to a dog, umtza to a piece of meat to a dog. Was it how much? Amrav Mari looked at this meshach udne. Rashi says over here the size of its ear. Bat kamut oznak. Oh yeah, but look at Rashi says over here v'chutra abatra. What's a chutra? From chad gadia. A chutra is a cane, like a stick, right? And then you smack it with a stick. Look at Rashi v'chutra abatra yakel b'makel miyad shlo yehem ma'agiro. It shouldn't be too comfortable by you. Feed the dog, but then smack it so it runs away from you, right? Otherwise, you end up coming every day. Hani mili b'damra. This is in the wild, in the open, in the desert. But mati in the town, no. Right? Why? Da'at lemishach. Because the food, look at Rashi, if it's running around with taking this piece of meat to the show, eventually, I think he said, Aviyah, it'll come to stink later, but I he loved it, and this is your dog, we should da'at lemishach, batra, b'yafshidu. Right? Da'at lemishach, or he'll come, he'll be attached to you, I think Aviyah actually means. Da'at lemishach, he says, batra, after you, b'yafshidu, and you'll end up basically going bankrupt from this dog. He'll never leave you alone. Amar papa, late da'aniya mikalva, v'late da'atir mikhazira. He says over here that late the anya, there's no, from dogs you can't get poor and you can't get rich from pigs. Right, I'm not sure exactly. Late the anya mechazir, she call machar or anything that a pig wants, he'll eat. Motze lechov af machlino harbe, eat him, feed him a lot, I suppose, eats a lot. It's like a pig, it's an expression, eat like a pig. Tanika vatei Rav Yehuda, we've got a bright and supports Rav Yehuda. Right, look at Rav Yehuda. As we remember, Rav Yehuda was the one who said that hamra'ah means that you can't vomit it back up, it's behind Beit Abliya. We're going back to that subject. Ezo hi hamra'a, ezo hi halata. Hamra'a marbitza ufo keset piya. Marbitza, what you marbit, you put a fort in. Po keset, we actually say po keset piya. You put like a rod in his mouth, you force the mouth open, and you stuff the feet. You force him in the food, in the water. And what's halata? Halata is machila. While he's standing, he's just feeding. Right? In other words, he can spit it out if he wants. Umashke ma'umad. And you give him water, umab, notin kashim with the atzman, umab with the atzman, each on the edge. We got a bride today which seems to support Rabbi Yehuda, halachas miyak Rabbi Yehuda. So now, melhakatin the Targum, the Mishnah says that you can do this lahakata to the Tarnagolin. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Amrita kame demar. Matnit nimay, who's the Tarnagolin of Mishnah? So he says, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, Mash Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Why? The Tanya, he says, we have a bride over here. We learned this brighter on Daf Yud Chet, many, many Daf ago, a couple of months ago. Echad b'tel ha-kemach, echad b'tel ha-tochomayim, achron chayav, the Rebbe says that, when we saw there, who's chayav when you're baking or doing kneading or whatever. So one adds the flour, one adds the water, we said the guy who adds the last thing is chayav, going to Rebbe. Rosh Yehuda says, no, enu chayav ad shiga bel, you only chayav, not by just putting water into the flour, actually you have to mix it all and knead it all together. So that's why it says over here, that Mishnah could be Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, because he says you need to do gibul. Aval Musa and the La Bar Gibulu. So the Gemara said, no, wait a second, maybe not. Dilma Adkan no kam Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda ata mina kemach. Why Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda say, why was there machloket over there? Because it was kemach, davar, which is something which is readily mixed. Aval Musa and this barley bran, the La Bar Gibulu, for Rabbi Yossi would agree. So there might not be a machloket over there between the multiple. We said, losak datak, why? Now we've got a mefurash bright to bed. Ain't not in maim the mursa and the rebbe. You can't put water in the mursa. And Rabbi Yossi says no. Omer not nin maim the mursa. You can put it in. We'll finish off over here.